88 to 91.
Hello and welcome to Barry Talks Comedy Classics. It's January 1960. Well, it is in our Comedy Classics series. Yes, January 1960, and an episode of The Navy Lark. The Navy Lark, like the Army Game and Tell It to the Marines, was a jolly romp around the exploits of the British Armed Forces, in this case the fictional HMS Troutbridge and its crew. John Pertwee as the scallywag Chief Petty Officer, Stephen Murray and Leslie Phillips as Lieutenants, Judy Cornwell and Heather Chasen as Wrens, and Ronnie Barker as Able Seaman Johnson. Like all British services comedy, the Navy Lark is about incompetence and petty misdemeanours, and it was extremely popular and a long-running success too, the longest-running radio comedy of all time, until News Headlines came along. Of course, there were cast changes, but the three characters one remembers most clearly are the aforementioned John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips as the philandering sub-lieutenant, and Ronnie Barker at the start of his climb to stardom. So here we are in a dockside pub in 1960, and Jack's ashore. Yes, it's the Navy Lark.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark with our three stars, Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. The snag about keeping a secret is that the person you're sharing it with never keeps it as long as you do. This means that just when you're about to divulge it in the strictest confidence to a third person, he tells you about it first. Well, naturally, our draft all have their little secrets, too, they think.
What I want to know is, who's paying for the next round, Johnson?
Well, Johnson isn't. Johnson paid for the last one.
And I paid for the one before that.
Yeah. And there are three of us.
Including Taffy Goldstein, who hasn't bought a round yet, but who is about to rush up to the bar with his purse in his hot little hand, pausing only long enough to ask us what we're going to have.
Our name.
Aren't you, Taffy?
No.
It's all right, I'll go to the bar. I just remembered something.
What?
The new barmaid.
Excuse me, pardon me. Would you mind?
Thank you, Mrs.
Miss, could I have two halves?
I'm already serving, you know.
No, I didn't, no, actually.
All I want is
that'll be 3 and 6, thank you. Who's next?
I want 2 halves.
Do you mind, sailor? I've only got 1 pair of hands, you know.
Yeah, I had noticed. But I want...
Your usual, Mr. Kavanagh. There we are. That'll be 14 and 6, thank you.
Blimey, what's he drinking? A double champagne with a cherry in it?
Your change, Bob. Who's next?
I want 2,
Well?
I've forgotten now.
Then would you mind getting out of the road, Jack? People are trying to get served, you know.
Oh, good luck to them. I couldn't.
Here, Johnson. Where's our wallet?
It's downstairs in a little barrel.
Well, get your lady friend to pull that handle thing and get it up here. I'm thirsty.
Excuse me, but I am not your fat friend, lady friend. I'm bespoke, thank you.
Go on. Who to?
If you must know, my intended is another naval person, but much more than normal size than your friend.
All the nice girls love a sailor. All the nice girls.
Hey, put a sock in it, Ginger. Look who's just come in.
It's Mr. Phillips. He's got Heather with him.
What did I tell you? All the nice girls love a sailor. All the nice girls love a tar.
Well, that's a comfort, isn't it? Good evening, you three.
Good evening, sir. We are just leaving.
Looks as if Ginger left some time ago.
Leave him to us, sir.
Certainly. Oh, and you're welcome to the legacy.
Excuse me, do any of you want serving, or is this just a naval reunion?
What? Oh, yes, I do. I want,
Well?
Cool.
I say.
What this gentleman is trying to say is that he wants a pair of very dark glasses.
That's right, then I shan't be able to look at it. I meant... That is, I hadn't even noticed it. I was just wondering, actually.
36, 22, 36, I should think.
37, actually.
Oh, well done.
Her or me?
You. you were nearly right. Mm. I mean, what's an inch between, do you think I could have a drink? It's got, suddenly awfully warm in here.
Sailors are all the same, aren't they, dear? I have a naval gentleman friend as a steady myself.
Then you have my deepest sympathy.
Oh, mine's a lot brighter than what yours is by the look of him.
Now, steady. I'm not just a vacant face, you know. I mean...
Is your steady naval gentleman friend in our draft on the island?
Oh, yes, he is. Very important position, too, I believe. And such a fine, upstanding chap. Honest as the day is long and never a word out of place. I think it's so important to have a man you can look up to and respect. Don't you?
Oh, very. What's his name?
Chief Petty Officer Pertwee.
Gracious.
What's the matter? Do you know him?
Oh, yes. We know him all right, yes.
It's just it comes as a bit of a shock.
What does?
We're trying to think of the chief as being an honest as the day is long.
Yes, the evenings never draw in that quickly.
Excuse me, Mr. Phillips, sir. Miss, could I have 2 hours?
Do you mind? Proper little queue jumper, aren't you?
But I only want...
I'm serving this gentleman the lady, if you don't mind. Two nice gin and tonics, wasn't it, sir?
It was, but I think we'd better forget it, don't you, Leslie, or we missed the big feature.
What? Oh, I couldn't. Oh, I see, yes, Lummy, so we shall, yeah. Good night, Johnson.
Good night, sir.
Good night. Come on, Leslie, for goodness sake.
Yes, but I wanted to say good night to 3722.
Leslie!
Just a common courtesy, you know.
Closed. Where the pair you got? All right, who is it?
Abel Seaman Johnson, Chief. I brought the post.
Then lean on it, I'm busy.
I mean the letters. There's one for you. It comes from Sid.
Who?
Sid.
Sid?
Yeah. I can't read the rest, but it said somebody.
Oh, all right, hang on. Show me.
See?
That's not Sid. Somebody you nicked. It's Sydenham. Funny.
Pretty envelope, isn't it? Pong's elegant, too.
Pong's elegant.
Cool.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, Sybil has rather overdone the eau de Cairo a bit, didn't she?
Yeah. Well, what's she say, Chief?
She says fat little Johnson shouldn't be nosy parkers for a start. Why?
Oh, nothing. I was just hoping she said she was coming down to see you and wanted to meet you in the pub.
I don't know what you're getting at, Fatso. But I have a feeling you're dicing with it.
Well, I know you are.
Now, will you stop that before you do yourself an unfortunate?
Anyway, what are you hinting at, Tubby?
Nothing. But if Abel Seaman Johnson don't have it a bit more cushy, Abel Seaman Johnson's going to put the squeak in.
Put a squeak in where?
Well, either with Sybilla Sydenham or Pertwee's Poppet in the pub. I'm not fussing.
Put here. How did you find out about my little bit of local snog?
I went out with Ginger and Taffy last night and we overheard a little something.
Oh, you did you? You eavesdropping great nit.
A little more respect for Abel Seaman Johnson, if you don't mind.
Oh, I'll have to put a stop to this.
Ah, you built it yourself, you know. You'll have to lie on it. You shouldn't have played fast and loose with the ladies of the opposite section.
Johnson, I'm warning you.
Ah, that sort of old nonsense always ends up in tears.
Yes, it will. We'll be crying over spilt Johnson in a minute.
Well, if that's your attitude, I think I'll just drop a line to a certain lady of your acquaintance in this...
No, Johnson, no, me old friend. No, I tell you, have the afternoon off. Yeah. Here you are, Johnson, here. There's something else, a little cigar for you.
Oh, that's more like it. Here, lend us a couple of bob with you. I want to go to the races.
Lend you a couple of bob? Are you off your great round rocker? I'm not going to lend you a couple of
bob. Dear Sybil. I feel you ought to know that a certain Chief Petty Officer Pertwee...
Blackmail. That's what it is. It's blackmail.
Yeah.
Now, look, Johnson. Now, Johnson.
Yeah.
Johnson.
Yeah.
Dear old friend, Johnson.
Yeah.
Comrade in arms.
Yeah.
Helpmates.
Yeah.
And chum.
I'm listening.
I want you to try and understand that any derogatorials I may have said about you were purely comments in the heat of the moment.
In the heat of the moment, I see. Go on.
I intend to, because right now I'm boiling. And if there's any more of this, I'll melt your lug holes with the right mouthful, so help me. Understood, fatso?
Perfectly, Tar. Dear Sybil. I feel you ought to know that a certain Chief Petty Officer...
Belter!
That does it. I'm going to put the squeak into both of them now.
No, Johnson. Yeah. Please, Johnson, please. You're being hasty, Johnson. You don't understand. You don't understand at all. It's all a mistake. The lady you three heard about in the pub is purely a business acquaintance.
Oh, yeah. And I suppose you often have to work late with her together, too, eh?
Yeah. No! Now, listen to me. Listen, you steaming great nit. It's through Maisie I flog certain... surplus stores. Yeah, I flog them to the pub. She took the landlord into buying from me.
What did you talk her into?
Nothing.
Now I know you're having me on.
That'll do. Hallelujah, she's not my type. She's not my type at all, John. No. No, we're just not suited. Tonight. No. Sydenham Sybil is Pertwee's bit of home comfort.
Oh, that's a pity, because that means my bit of blackmail's gone for a Burton, doesn't it?
It does, Johnson.
Here's your two bob back.
Top, and I hope you enjoyed your little moment of triumph, because now it's my turn. You balloon-based, underhanded, scheming, podgy-paunched, great fat greaseball. Who's that?
Oh, you know.
Johnson, darling, it's me.
I do now. Your business acquaintance wants a director's meeting. Mr. Pertwee's residence, please come in. You're not expected.
Ever so.
Johnson, so help me. I'll flatten your fudge figure out so much, you'll be 3 inches wide and 84 feet high.
Well, I suppose I'd better leave you two lovebirds alone.
No, Johnson. I told you before. We're just business acquaintances.
Don't be bashful, John Z. He's bound to know sometimes, isn't he?
Now what?
Now I'm back in business. Two bob, please.
Right. You
vulture.
Oh, Heather, have you finished all those returns yet?
I have, sir. In fact, there were so many, I feel as if I've been typing returns for a week.
Oh, doesn't sound as if you regard them as many happy returns.
Very whimsical, I'm sure, sir.
Dear, you don't exactly seem to be the little ray of sunshine this morning, Heather.
Fine, thank you. Never felt better.
Oh, good. For a moment, I thought you were upset about something.
No, just the morning after the ghastly evening out before.
Oh, you were with Mr. Phillips.
Yes, but Mr. Phillips wasn't exactly with me.
Well, let's face it, Mr. Phillips is never exactly with anybody.
Well, this was rather different. I wouldn't have minded, but all he could say was, 37, can you beat it?
And, can you?
Frankly, no. Hello, main office?
It's Commander Purvey, Portsmouth. Is there any Commander Staunton there?
Well, no, sir, not just at the moment.
Serves me right for asking. He never is. Give me number one.
One moment, sir. It's Commander Purvey for you, sir.
Yes, I was afraid it was. Hello, number one here. Yeah?
Number one. I have grown to realize that paperwork is not the strong point of your draft. But after seeing this last lot, I'd be obliged if you'd tell me the name of the game you're playing at.
I don't think I quite understand, sir.
And I don't quite understand the last lot of indents that came in from Chief Petty Officer Pertwee either.
Oh, what are they for, sir?
Crisps.
Crisps.
Crisps. 150 tins of potato crisps.
We never have crisps.
What's going on with them, for Pete's sake?
Well, perhaps he's salting them away.
Oh, good grief. Number one, I'm coming over there at once, and when I get there, I'll want to see Pertwee and know exactly what's been going on. I intend to go through those stores and all the returns with a fine tooth comb.
Yes, I'll tell the chief at once, sir.
Why Admiralty put up with the slapdash way you go about things is beyond me.
Excuse me, sir. Let's see who that is, Heather.
Right, sir.
You were saying, Commander Purvey?
What on earth is going on? Am I to understand that it's impossible for you to be in the whole assembly?
Hello, Heather. Anybody about? I've got a visitor.
Hello. Les is showing around.
So I see. I thought you'd already been.
Now, ladies, please.
Just a minute, sir. What's going on?
This is Maisie, sir. I'm showing her one or two things.
Or vice versa.
Yes, 37. Can you beat it?
I'm trying to listen to Commander Povey.
Why not listen to us, sir? He can't beat 37-22.
Yes, that's true, I suppose. Heather, remind me to hang up when old Thunderguts stops.
Aye, sir. Mr. Phillips, may I ask why you're showing the lady around?
Oh, because she doesn't know her way around, of course.
Oh, come now.
I meant, why isn't the chief conducting the tour?
Don't mention that man to me. We're through.
Oh, well, that was a bit sudden, wasn't it?
Well, let me explain. I sort of walked into it.
Yeah, you sort of always do.
Yes, I do, don't I? But it wasn't me this time, sir. It was Johnson.
Fatso? What did he do?
He dropped one about Sybil of Sydenham. Before the chief could tell Johnson to belt up, Maisie told the chief to belt up.
I never want to see him again.
Well, neither do I, but you're the lucky one. I shall have to.
Hello! Hello, number one! But say something, can't you? I ask you. 150 tins of crisps. Why, it's ludicrous. I'm coming over there at once.
Quite, sir. We'll look into it.
What on earth is going on? Am I to understand?
Oh, we'd better carry on with the old tour, I suppose. Hey, Maisie, old girl?
No, thank you. I want to get back to the pub. I want to have a word with my father. He'll sort that two-timing petty officer of yours out all right.
Now, don't do anything hasty.
No, it might be your turn next, Casanova.
The heavyweight champion my dad was. Half murdered the last bloke that stood me up. Hey, Les. Seeing as I'm no longer bespoke, What are you doing this evening?
Three rounds with your father, probably.
Yes, nothing I'd like better than getting the gloves on with a heavy... Wait a minute. Perhaps you'd like to see Maisie back, sir.
I've got Commander Povey here on the phone.
Oh, yes, sir. So you have, yes. Well, I shouldn't worry about that then, sir. He'll still be on it when you get back.
Yes, perhaps you're right. After you, Maisie.
Yeah, who isn't?
There are other people in the world besides yourself, you know. I have a good mind to see that you haven't been spending.
You had to open your big mouth, didn't you, Johnson? You just had to say something disasterful.
Well, it wasn't my fault. You didn't tell me to belt up quick enough.
Well, rest assured, I'll shut in future. Now, cork up, and I'll try to think what I'm going to do.
But what's your problem, then? I thought you liked Sybil best anyway.
I do. I like Sybil. It's the little arrangement with the pub I'm worried about. You foul that up good and proper, you blubbermouth.
Oh, dear, will I answer? What of that?
I've got 150 tins of crisps turning up. You say, Paul, look, what am I going to do with them? That's what I'd like to know. What am I going to do with them?
So would I, Chief.
And that makes two of us. It's coming. Well, where did you spring from? Well, nice of you to drop in, sir. How did you?
For once, Chief, you inadvertently left the door open.
Oh, no, he didn't, sir, no. I was the last one in, so it must have been me that... I wish I was dead.
You probably soon will be. You're having quite a day, aren't you?
Well, even if he isn't, I'm pretty certain I'm going to.
Oh? Something amiss, sir?
Just a trifle, Chief. Crisps.
Trifle and crisps? Well, who wants to eat
trifle? I didn't say that, you idiot. I'm talking about that 150 tins of crisps you indented for.
Crisps? Oh, crisps!
Well... I'm waiting for an explanation.
So am I. Just a minute. Oh, no. Oh, yes, sir. I've got it. Yeah, crisps. Yes, crisps.
Cool.
Oh, no. It's a code name, sir.
A code name?
Yes.
What for?
Crisps. Spare parts. A code name for spare parts, sir. That's right. Crisps. C-R-I-S-P... Cathode, ray, isotopes, switch plug, sausages. Switch plug.
Are they red?
Yes, sir.
And why are they in tins, may I ask?
Oh, well, why are they in tins? Well, obviously, sir, they're radioactive. They are, yes, the crisps. You can't ship them any other way, sir, radioactive.
Yeah, and the little packets of salt would have stopped them going rusty.
Say something to you.
I've done it again, haven't I?
You have. In fact, you both have. Chief, get over to the main office at once and send this other idiot on a route march to get his weight down.
But the stores that I can't...
Yes, you can. I'm taking charge of these stores for the time being, and I'm going to examine everything until I find out what's been going on.
I'd rather you didn't, sir. No, I mean, it'll lead to a lot of unpleasantness and harsh verbosities.
I'm sure it will. Now, hop it, the pair of you.
No, but sir...
Out, yes,
sir.
You hear? Out! Out! Now then, this is the chance I've been waiting for a long... long time.
Right. Where is he?
I beg your pardon, sir. This is Admiralty property. And...
Where is he? Where's the man in charge of these stores?
But I am.
Are you? Right. But I'm Maisie's father.
Well,
We've not met before, but you're going to get the iodine of your life.
What?
But there must be some mistake. No.
I'll teach you. I'll teach you to go round jilting the likes of my Maisie.
Keep off. Get off. No, go in.
Hello, main office.
Oh, this is Maisie speaking. Quick, I've got to know. Which hospital is Johnsy in?
What? But the chief's not in hospital.
He isn't?
Ah.
You don't mean him?
Let me talk to her. Hello, number one here.
When's the funeral, sir? When I told my father about me being jilted, I never thought he'd go up there and...
Just a minute. Do I gather your father's up here?
Yes. He went straight to the stores to fill John's inn.
Oh, Lord. I'll ring you back. Mr. Phillips, get down to the stores at once before any...
Water! Call out the guard! It's a massacre! Tell me, Commander Povey.
I've been attacked by some lunatic who says he's somebody called Maisie's father. He's wrecked the stores. I'll never be able to check them now.
Oh, what a shame. Oh, what a lovely shame. No, I mean, it's a pity. No, I didn't mean that. I mean, it's a pity, sir. It's a pity because everything was in order, sir. Of course, well, now...
Stop gloating, Pertwee. There's still the matter of an indent for all those crisps in my office. You can't explain that away.
I'll try, sir. Typist Terry, sir.
Hello, number one here.
Jetty guard here, sir. What do you want me to do with them, sir?
Do with what?
Well, launch from main stores just delivered 150 tins of crisps, sir.
What? You mean the crisps are here?
No, yeah,
but they can't be. I stopped the indent. I'm sure I did. Apparently, you didn't, sir.
Oh, yes, I mean, if they're here, I mean, that means you must have initialed your approval on the indent, sir.
It's impossible. I can't have done it. I'm sure I can't have done it. Like slipping the office work, would you say, Chief?
Oh, very slipshod, sir, yes. Mind you, sir, this is no excuse, sir.
Oh, I don't know. None of us were inflammable, you know.
If their lordships found out, I'll be court-martialed. This is terrible. I must get back at once.
Yeah, you do that, sir. But help yourself to a bag of crisps on the way, sir. There's no extra charge for the salt.
That was Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee working their passage in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Commander Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Able Seaman Johnson was Ronnie Barker, Goldstein was Tenniel Evans, Heather was Heather Chasen, Maisie was played by June Tobin, and Ginger was Michael Bates. And the recorded production was by Alistair Scott Johnston.
Next week, we move on a year to 1961 and an episode of the show that predates Round the Horn, Beyond Our Ken. For now, from me, Barry Took, goodbye.